In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Very glad to be with you today. We remember Elijah and that he was sent to a widow of Zarephath. I'm reading from Luke 4. And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own town. But I tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut 3 years and 6 months, that's no rain, when the great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." She's a paganist. She's a pagan. She's a pagan. "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian, another pagan. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and indignation." Why? Because he was saying that God is going to work through the Gentiles because the Jewish people are rejecting him. "And he rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of a hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went his way." I tell you, my friends, if God doesn't use the Catholics, he'll go someplace else. That's just reality. And you know, we say we have the fullness of faith, and we do. But if we are not doing what God wants us to do, he'll go someplace else. It's as simple as that. He's looking for a faithful remnant. He's looking for a faithful remnant. And if we do not do the works of God, I'm telling you, he'll go someplace else. It's as simple as that. Will he forget us? No, he won't forget us. He won't forget his loving bride. But he will say, "I'm going to another section of the kingdom, another section of the vineyard, and they are open to me, and I will use them. You people that are Catholic, at this time, you're not open to me, and I cannot use you." So if you are not ready for God and for his power and for his fire, he will go someplace else, just like he did with Elijah, who went to the widow of Zarephath, and Elisha, who went to Naaman, the leper. I tell you, this is reality. I'm looking at the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. "And it came to pass after many days," remember Elijah said it wasn't going to rain until he said so, "that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab." Remember, Ahab is the king of the northern part of Israel. "And I will send rain upon the earth." So go tell Ahab, "I'm going to send rain upon the earth." "And Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah." Obadiah was the governor of his house. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He was a believing Jew. He was a believing man of God. "For it was so that Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. And Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." So Obadiah is a man of God. He takes 100 prophets of the Lord and he puts them in 2 caves and he feeds them. If he ever was found out, he'd be dead. We remember that wench Jezebel is looking for Elijah and anything that Elijah has to do with. "And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto the fountains of water, and unto the brooks, that we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not one of these beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was on his way, behold, he meets Elijah. And he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, Art thou my lord Elijah? And he answered, I am. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here. And Obadiah said, How have I sinned, for that you would deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Because you know what? He's saying, I'm going to tell Ahab that I met Elijah, and he's going to meet Ahab, but Elijah's going to be taken up by the Spirit and going to go here and there and everywhere, and they'll kill me, Obadiah. They'll kill me. I can't trust you because you're a man of the Spirit, and you never know where you're going to be, and I'll get killed if I tell you we're going to meet Elijah, Ahab and Elijah. And he answered him, I will go and tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What I have sinned, that would thou deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me. As the Lord thy God lives, there is no nation and no kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and of the nation that they found thee not. And now you say, Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry you off. And I know not so, when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he shall slay me. But I am your servant. Fear the Lord. I have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my Lord, that I did when Jezebel slew prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. You see, this Elijah was a man of the Spirit, a man of the Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. But not only was he a man of the Spirit, Elijah was a real human being, as we shall see that he had real feelings, and he was afraid. He was afraid. He was afraid after he had done the great miracle. He was afraid. That's why I love Elijah. Elijah is like us. He not only is able to do great things in the Lord, but he is absolutely human. Absolutely human. Elijah is the prophet that depicts all prophets. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, there appeared Elijah and Moses. Elijah stands for the prophets, Moses for the law. And you see, Elijah was taken up by the whirlwind, but Moses wasn't taken up. He died on Mount Nebo, I believe. But the point of the matter is that there he is, Moses, and Jesus is speaking to him. I thought you don't speak to the dead. He's not dead. He's very much alive. He's shining with the glory of God. He's shining with the glory of God. There's the glory all over Moses, you know. Moses never went into the promised land. But you know what? He got the better part. He went to see Jesus. Even before Jesus was conceived, he went to see the Word of God. He went to see the Father. He went to see the Holy Spirit. We kind of feel sorry for Moses that he never entered the promised land, but he really entered the promised land. The promised land that will never end. The promised land of heaven. The promised land of glory. Moses entered that promised land. He didn't enter Israel, but he entered heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And one of the things I learned from that is that we can ask the saints to pray with us. We can ask the saints to pray with us. Why? Because they know what it is to go through what we're going through, because they went through it, and they understand. They understand. They understand. And so we have this whole thing with Elijah and Ahab. And Elijah said, As the Lord of God lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. In other words, I'm not going to be taken up. I'm not going to be moving. I want to show myself to Ahab. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he, the troublemaker of Israel? Let me tell you, there was a drought because they were worshiping false gods. Let me tell you, they were worshiping the Phoenician gods of Jezebel, that wench. And so the Lord said to Elijah, it's not going to rain until I say so. And Ahab has the nerve to call Elijah the troublemaker of Israel. He was living with the troublemaker of Israel, and he didn't stand up for the Lord. He allowed his wench wife to worship false gods, and these were also taken to the people. Let me tell you why it was so attractive. Baal and Asherah are the fertility gods. Okay? The scripture says, I look to the mountains, from whence shall come my help. My help comes from the Lord, not from the mountains. In the mountains, there were little statues of Baal and Asherah that people would adore. But not only that, they would also go to a temple prostitute so that their land would be fertile. And the Lord says, I'm no troublemaker through Elijah. You're the troublemaker. You and your wife, that evil woman. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the command of God and has followed the Baals. In other words, it's your problem. It didn't rain because of your problem. It's not my problem. I just said the truth that it's not going to rain until I say so. But it's your problem that you allowed your people and you to worship these Phoenician gods. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Now, Mount Carmel is on the Mediterranean Sea. I believe it means the fertile vineyard of the Lord. And the prophets of Baal, 450. And the prophets of the groves, 400. And that eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent into the children of Israel and gathered all the prophets together on Mount Carmel. My Lord. There must have been bad vibes that day, let me tell you. All the evil that was in these prophets, my Lord, and who is standing against them? One man, what's his name? Elijah. I tell you, there must have been a lot of bad vibrations on Mount Carmel because all these people were satanic. They were satanic. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long will you be between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put on fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And you shall call upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. There was a story about St. Anthony, and St. Anthony was fighting against, not with his hands, the Albigensians, who did not believe in the true presence of the Eucharist and did not believe that Jesus was truly a man. He was only God. But you see, what happened is Anthony said, I want you to get your donkey and don't feed him for 3 days. And I will stand in one place with the Eucharist, and you will stand in another place with wheat that the donkey would want to eat after 3 days. We'll see who is right. And so the donkey starts walking, you know, doing the best he can. And he looks toward Anthony of Padua, and he starts to walk toward the Eucharist, and he kneels before the Eucharist. And therefore, we see Anthony prevailed. God prevailed. This is very important. You know, if God be God, follow him. if Baal be God, follow him. But today on Mount Carmel, we're going to find out who God is. You know, maybe some of you people are wondering, is Jesus really God? Is he really the Lord? Is he really the one who took my sins upon the cross and rose from the dead? Well, you know what? If you ask him to show himself to you, he will show himself to you. I remember a woman who came to me and she said, you know, Father Tom, I can't believe. I want to believe, but I can't believe. I said, well, I'm going to believe for you right now. And we asked Jesus to come into her heart and forgive her sins. And I said, God's going to show you that Jesus Christ is Lord. It wasn't a day later that I got a call. The woman on the other end, I was a deacon, was weeping. And she said, none of this could have happened if Jesus didn't do it. She didn't even tell me what it was. She said, but it was something that I needed to happen. And it happened. And only Jesus could do it. I'm a follower of Jesus. I tell you, sometimes you've got to put the Lord to the test. The scripture says about tithing, put me to the test. Let's see if you tithe and what I will open the windows of heaven. Put me to the test. So I tell you, that's what the tithing thing is, that put me to the test and I will show you that those who tithe, I will open the windows of heaven. So let's continue with the scripture. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any one that answered. And they leapt upon the altar which was made. Oh, they were in a frenzy. They were cutting themselves. They were singing. They were cutting themselves. They were doing bad things. They were calling on the name of Baal to consume the sacrifice. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, cry louder, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or he sleeps and must be awakened. And one of the real translations is, he's gone to the lavatory. Maybe. You know, Elijah says, call on your God. He's not answering. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither a voice, no answer, and no one answered. So what happens? And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came unto Elijah. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones. Why 12 stones? For the 12 tribes of Israel. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, so great as would contain 2 measures of wheat, or 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and said, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench, which was filled with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. In other words, Elijah just didn't do this. He had permission to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's so important. You know, if I have permission to say to somebody, you know, rise up and walk, they will rise up and walk. If I have permission, if God has given me the permission. I remember the time when There was a guy, I've told you the story before, but it's worth repeating again. He had taken a stroke, and we prayed with him, in the name of Jesus Christ, move your arm. And he started to move his arm, and he fell on the floor. He was shaken like a leaf. Yes, he was restored. And I said, go to physical therapy. I said, so you can get restored completely. You know what? He lost his healing. He stopped believing that it happened. And I would say to the people, how many people were here when John's arm was healed? And they would raise their hands. But you know, the person that did the physical training said that was impossible. And he believed the impossibility of the physical trainer rather than everyone saw his arm move. And he moved his arm also. And it was God who did it. He gave us permission to do it. Oh, God, do we need your permission to do mighty signs and mighty wonders? Oh, God, do we need your permission to speak to the dead that they would rise? Oh, Father, do we need your permission to say to the sick, be healed? Lord, do we need your permission? We certainly need your permission. And we ask that you would release fire upon the people who are hearing me today, that you would release fire upon the people that are listening today, that you would release fire, fire, fire from heaven. We ask that you would release it into your people and that it would burn away all the dross, and not into your people only, but release fire into me, fire, fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. Jesus said you must be baptized with the water, the Spirit, and with fire. And the Word of God says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know, not think, but know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they all fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord is the God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. I tell you, this Elijah, you would think that he could just do anything. But I'm going to tell you what we're going to be getting into tomorrow and the next day, that Elijah is just a man. And he has done this beautiful physical, spiritual act, but he's scared. Guess who scared him? Well, you read it. It's in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings and the end of the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God, proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming God Almighty, proclaiming His power, proclaiming His will, proclaiming His mercy. And you have listened today, and I tell you, you are a man just like Elijah, and God could put His Spirit in you just like Elijah. Let me tell you, God can put His Spirit in you just like James and John, the sons of Zebedee. God can do these things, but we must be sold out to Jesus. We must be sold out to Jesus. We must be sold out to Jesus. Our hearts must be in His hands, and we give Him permission to do anything He wants to do. Lord Jesus, I give you permission over my life today. I ask for the grace to live for you. So, we need to hear from you because we have not paid all of our bills. We are $5,000 short. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And on Sunday evening, we begin the School of the Holy Spirit. You're all welcome to come. at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop, 1015 Shirley Street, and we're going to be praising God. Oh, not like the prophets of Baal. We're not going to be cutting ourselves, but we're going to be singing. We're going to be dancing. We're going to be raising our hands to the Lord. And Jesus Christ loves this kind of worship. He loves this kind of worship. He honors this kind of worship. And you know what? That's why Holy Rosary has such a presence of God in the church, because there are different acts of worship that take place. We have people adoring the Blessed Sacrament almost every night, and we have people singing and dancing and praising God. This is so important. That's why the walls at Holy Rosary is filled with the unction of the Holy Spirit. So I hope you're coming this Sunday, the 14th of July. We begin at 7 o'clock at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. You are welcome to come. I want you to be there. The Lord wants you to be there. We're going to have a great time. Jesus Christ is going to show up. I was told by the prophet Randy that I was to release the fire of God. I'll tell you more about that in the days to come. May Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Mary, be praised, because he is the Lord. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.